Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
This is Kathy Smith. I'm with the Lee Summit Baseball Project. It's June 8th, 2021, and I'm here with Jim. And Jim, what is your last name?
Smith.
Jim Smith. Funny coincidence. And Jim is going to tell us about Powder Puff Baseball in Lee Summit. Hey Jim. So tell us how you tell us where you live.
Well, I lived actually on Woodbine, right next to the grade school, Westview.
Okay.
It's just a short block, and there was I believe a woman, Mimi Newman, who were a good friend of mine. That they owned Mr. R. Long Arm down in Greenwood. I think she found out that they wanted to afford get a Powder Puff League going. And I don't remember all the women's name. We had a meeting, and one of them, I believe, was Drake. And if I remember right, and the other one, I can't remember her name. They both had 10 kids, and the other one lived on the east side of town. And they decided to form this Powder Puff League, a team in each grade, freshmen through seniors, which we did. And Mimi and my wife, Dorothy, became coaches. And when the freshmen all signed up, we had, I don't remember many freshmen, but one of the deals was everybody had to play. And if I remember right, we had about over 25 signed up to play. So then we're trying to find places to practice, and we had trouble with the Men's Baseball Association giving us places to practice and play. And finally started the league, and I was going to tell you that in the backstop at Westview, they built those two diamonds down there. And the backstop of the one on the street has March 4th, 1969 on it, scratched in the concrete.
And that's when it started?
And that's when we finally got some diamonds of our own back then. And Mimi and my wife wasn't too good about knowing anything about baseball rules, and they just shuffle girls in and out, which you can't do. So finally, me and Walt Taylor and Bill Lawrence took over the team, and the team went up. My oldest girl went up through that team, and then I had my second girl. We started with their freshmen and went up through. In our second year, our freshman, our sophomore team won the championship.
Pretty cool.
And then we had to then play the All-Stars, and they slaughtered us. So that's mostly what I remember of the team.
So when did it actually get started then?
Well, my daughter would have been a freshman in, I believe, 69. She graduated college in 77, so if I subtract 8 years, it would be 69. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's about that time.
So there was probably some competition in terms of getting sponsors for Powder Puff, wasn't there? Because wouldn't the Little League try to get sponsors for their team, the boys' teams?
And the only sponsored team I remember, and it was called the Green Hornets. And I was looking here. Lynn remembers this Lynn Ayler, if you get a hold of her, remember some of the names that, that sponsored them, and I wrote them down. I can't read my writing. I just can't read it.
Do you want me to try?
Oh Lord, you can't read anything. I just remember the Green Hornets is one. I can call her.
Let's see. Green Hornets.
But I don't know who sponsored them at the time.
She works from home. Let me see if I can get home.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Jim.
My oldest daughter went through 4 years, but then I had my second daughter was 4 years behind. Then I had her for 4 years. And with her, I had Lynn's sister, Sandy. Then the next 4 years, I had my youngest daughter. And when they got up to be a senior, I dropped out, and her dad then did everything. I don't know who coached with, so I really didn't know Lynn in baseball.
And the young woman that we just talked with, or can you tell me her name?
Lynn.
Lynn. What's her last name?
Well, it's Smith.
Smith? Okay, okay.
But it's Lynn Ayler was her maiden name.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But she was a good base. I know, I saw a few games, she was a good pitcher.
So who do you remember some of the other players and their capabilities? And I'm sure you had some.
Oh, yeah. One was a gal named Wall. I think W-A-U-G-H. That home and hearth right next to Cahan Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they still own it, she was one of the baseball best players around. I think she even played competition even after high school.
Okay.
I remember her dad, John, but he always supported us real well. Well, he's the one that sold me the house on Woodbine. But I had that freshman, the second group with my middle daughter was really had some good talent on it. And I had written some down, I think, somewhere. I had Kathy Burton, then Sandy Ayler, Cindy Smith. I can't remember the one gal's name that caught for us. Started with a C and lived right off 3rd Street. First house on the corner, but they could really catch the ball. That was the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically in the field. And you just kind of liked them all.
So,
and they all did real well.
So who prepped the fields?
You know, I don't know who dug the fields. But I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe Lynn can tell you that, but I don't remember that.
Okay. And then, in terms of the equipment?
We kept our own.
You kept your own. And then who purchased that? Each child, family did that? Or did you, parents chip in? Or how did that work?
You know, I don't even remember, but I don't remember. Well, we didn't have sponsors, so I don't know. I know the high school didn't.
Okay.
So I guess we bought our own.
Okay. And then
that's a guess now. So.
So they in the very beginning when these your games started, so the high school, did they want to have anything to do with it? I mean, did they?
Well.
How did that work?
Well, it just so happens, the Drake that I talked about in the beginning, her husband was over the umpires. He was the chairman or president of the Umpire Association here in Leesburg. So we had umpires for the games. We didn't have to, that's one part we didn't have to worry about.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. And there's something else I was going to say.
We were talking about the high school, you know, them when you first got started, knowing that you had these teams.
We never associated with the high school at all.
Okay.
That I know of, that I remember.
Okay.
Did you think about that at all? Of course, you probably didn't know about that state organization.
No, we didn't back then.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It was probably small back then. Well, at least some of it was small back then.
Yeah. Yes.
And so then, now what I've heard that folks that were involved with Little League, that nobody ever ate dinner. Dinner was always eaten at the concession stand. They always ate hot dogs and whatever they had there, you know, because nobody cooked.
Yeah, and we boiled the hot dogs into packages, you know, so you wouldn't lose any taste.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. Then, I didn't know you could do that.
Then cut it open.
Oh, my gosh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then the one thing they said, too, about the Little League was the camaraderie of the parents. Everybody would come up, and they'd visit. They all got to know each other.
Yeah.
And it was really special times for these families in Lee Summit back in those early days.
Yeah.
You know, out at the park, Lee McKeegan especially. So.
Well, I know what I wanted to tell you was going from freshman to sophomore to junior, it was amazing that when you come back to practices next year, how much more makeup was on.
You know,
I first saw my catcher on the second year with makeup and eyeshadow.
Girls starting to grow up.
Yeah, that was. I never said anything, but for myself, it was kind of humorous.
Sure. So where would the families buy their baseball equipment from, their gloves and all that stuff, for their kids back then?
Gosh, I want to say Sears.
Sears?
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I don't remember anything here in town back then except for trophies.
Okay, and where would you get your trophies then?
They were right here in town.
Do you remember the shop? Was it Dean's?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was looking, and I couldn't find it. I have a stand, an inscription on it with a baseball, and all the girls signed it for me.
Oh, that's cool.
I can't find the dang thing.
Oh, it's around somewhere.
Yeah.
If you come up with it, let me know.
Well, last time I saw it, they were beginning to fade.
That's what happened to Ed Fitzgerald.
I have to ask, I might give it to one of my daughters, too.
Probably so.
But I don't remember much else.
Okay. But you had a lot of fun, right?
We did. We did.
And then did you coaches get together and strategize? Did you have meetings and things like that?
No.
No, you just kind of randomly?
Yeah, I just made sure everybody got to play and have a good time.
And then?
The only year we really got serious was that middle daughter of mine, we had a really good team. And
what was her name?
My daughter, mm-hmm. Marcia, Marcia.
Okay.
Yeah, Shannon, Lawrence, Marcia Smith, Harold, Kathy Cowan.
Shannon Lawrence was on your team?
Shannon Lawrence.
I know her.
Oh, yeah. She was good.
I bet she was good.
Good player. Yes, Shannon was really good. And those are the ones I know because I know their parents real well, usually.
Sure. And then after the games were over, after the season was over, did you have a big wiener roast or a big wing ding?
Well, John Wall, when I was staying in the apartments, mm-hmm. always had something for us, yeah.
Well, that's neat.
Those 4 years.
Where'd they usually have it?
At his apartment.
Okay.
Building around the pool. And then the second year when we won the championship, the girls threw us all in the coaches in the pool.
Those apartments, I believe, are called Park Lane.
Park Lane, yeah.
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 Okay. So did you get much newspaper coverage back then?
No.
No?
Not that I remember.
Nobody from the Journal came out and took pictures or wrote articles or anything like that?
Not that I remember.
Gosh, kind of a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, I quit taking the Journal. Got Tribune at least got more news about Lee Summit than almost everything that's in the journals in the Kansas City Star.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Okay.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Jim.
Well, if I think of anything else, I'll call you.
Yeah, just give me a call, and then I'll, I can't wait to Talk to your buddy there.
I haven't got your number.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. It's Kathy with a K, last name Smith.
I think I can remember that.
816-363-9718.
Okay.
Okay.
Back. I want to say in the time, maybe the 70s and 80s, somewhere in there, at least some of the churches had their own basketball league, their own softball leagues for quite a few years. And I know that, well, I'll figure out, when I was 36, so I was over the hill, but I was still trying to play. But I belong to Baptist Church, and they had a lot of younger players, and you had the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, I don't remember everybody, but and the Baptist Church. I know there's three, but I don't remember the rest of them.
And then where did you all play?
Leah Keegan.
At Lee McKeegan?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what position did you play?
Me? At that age, I played right field.
Now, okay.
Now, in my younger day, I played 3-2 baseball. I pitched, and left-handed, I pitched and played left field. And I even all-starred in. But I didn't like July and August double hitters.
Couldn't be pretty brutal, aren't they?
I knew it wasn't something I didn't want to do for a living, try for a living.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then was that in your hometown then where you did that?
My hometown, I grew up just on the border of Sugar Creek.
Okay.
It's just east of Truman's Library.
Yes, I do.
Well, there's a Fairmount area.
Yes.
Well, that's really where I ran around, and there's a drive-in there, and then my mother lived on Ash right there.
And then what school did you go to over there?
We went to Northeast.
Northeast?
Yeah, and we had one heck of a football and basketball till they built Van Horn.
And that took all the good players away?
Yeah, that was my nephew. Yeah, well, most of the alignment came out of Sugar Creek.
Okay.
The Slavics and the real big husky guys.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember one year our coach Marquis said, we have an average line for the first time lineman of 200 pounds. That was, yeah. But I came right out of high school, went to work for Westinghouse, and just before I got drafted, I joined the Air Force.
Okay.
And came back out of the Air Force and used the GI Bill to go to college and get my engineering degree. And
where'd you go to college?
Well, Mississippi State University. I couldn't afford. I was married and had a kid, and no way could I afford. In 160 months, could I afford MU or KU?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a good engineering program at the time. And then I went to work for Western Electric, White Sands Missile Range. Lived in El Paso, and then this was opening and brought me back home. So came back here, and then I got my master's degree in KU.
Very cool. Well, congratulations on that.
And, yeah, I just gave, at 75, I went inactive on my license. I wasn't going to do any more engineering type of work. Besides that, mine was more like design and of process for integrated circuits. The Bell Labs would design what the circuit was to do, but we designed the process. You know, they'd tell us how they did it. Well, we had to decide, can we do it in an existing production line or brand new process, big clean rooms. I mean, it's got now a good clean room now, and the equipment costs about $1 billion to make integrated circuits in.
my goodness. So,
in my last job, I went to Korea for a year.
That's what I was going to ask you, where you were stationed.
Well, from here, I always kept this place. Mm-hmm. But they asked me to go down and we... searching equipment that switches, you know, your telephone number all the way from your house to my house. Number one is ESS number one, and it was small. And the Koreans liked it, you know, because their villages and cities were smaller, and so they built them the rights to build it. And they had I went over there for a year to help them get started and came back here. Then we built a huge, the clean room here in Kansas City. I did all that paperwork and got that stuff. I started, got into management, and we had about 55 engineers that had basically out of college or around the plant. Then AT&T decided they wanted the plant in Spain, and so I went on it for 2 years, and I came back and offered a golden parachute, and I left.
Yeah. Early. So, and when you were in the military, where were you stationed?
In the military, of course, basic was like Lackland. They had one in the north, but they closed it. The Lackland is the only one they have. And then the Keesler Field for Electronic School and Radar School. And then 3 years I worked, I was on the RAF station, Wethersfield, which was an old air base. The Americans opened up, and this was the Cold War then, and well, they're still, they don't say much, but they're still really worried about Russia. Russia's our enemy. I don't care what anybody says. I've been in enough situations. And the most oddest thing that ever happened to me over there was followed the UFO one night, and on our radar system, and the next day we were. That's when I was married and lived off base, and was called back in with the MI5 or MI6 from London came out and interviewed us and told us never speak to her about that again.
I can imagine, yeah. Everything's always hush-hush about that stuff.
Well, that thing would... You see these the radar screens, you would sweep, well, this blip would be on there, and it would just all of a sudden move. Well, but the blip would stay the same size. Well, when a plane turns, you get more of a reflection. The blip gets bigger. And this thing would go up, and we'd have to tilt the antenna up and find it again, find it. And it tracked it one time, it was doing 900 miles an hour. Well, we didn't have an aircraft. We did before I left there, but we didn't have an aircraft that went that fast. And so we knew something. But then we also could see the silhouette on the 2.5 mile radar, and it was, you know, just long, and had some lights blinking on it. And there was four or five of us. I don't remember how many exactly now. Usually there's three operators and a radar technician on there all the time. And the radar system was to aid aircraft landing in bad weather, is what it was for. So he was right next to the runway. And I almost stayed. I had a good job. Then I said, well, I took a couple courses while I was over there and had made good grades. And I thought, well, I'll just try college, and it worked out for me.
Sure. Great. Oh, what an interesting experience.
Yeah. And my company's given me always. I've always had good experiences with it and good jobs.
Yeah. I remember when I was managing some apartments years ago, we had Dennis and Stidham over there. And sure. he and his wife were the pioneers. They were part of that group. And they were Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus. And then I collect, of course, being a historian, I have all kinds of historic books, and I've got the 50th anniversary of AT&T, and so I was reading through that book, and I saw all the wonderful things that Western Electric employees did for the Lee Summit community, and I'm very engaged in the community. I thought that was absolutely wonderful, you know, to be able to do that little town like Lee Summit, to have folks, you know, doing all kinds of stuff like that.
So yeah.
It was pretty fun.
Softball with what made noise or whatever. Well, they still have what they call charm school to make stuff for the hospitals. I don't know how many's in it, but we're all getting so old and dying.
Well, I want to thank you for your time, Jim.
Okay.